nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
About Christ, look at the power that you felt. Just taking a song about the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Christ is everything that the Father has, everything that God has. This is the same person in pre-dispensation, God dealing with men. Give them everything but not give them His Son. Yes. How many are even aware? You talk about the, look at, you know, even in the heavens. Aware that even the Holy Spirit, nobody sees Him. Man does not, even angels don't see the Holy Ghost. That's why if you go to the book of Revelation, they tell you about only two thrones. They say the second throne, the throne of the Lamb. They tell you about the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. It's a spirit. So even in all the revelation that the unfolding that John saw, he never saw the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There was a time I was wondering why two thrones? Why the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Then even Jesus Himself as a person. That's why it will amaze you when angels describing me revelation, they use descriptions from the earth. Because before He came to the earth, He existed as the Word. We have the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Who can see Word? Even the angels did not see His substance. That's why when they say, who is what in the book? What say? They say what? Which description? They use description from there. He said the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came from the womb of God to the womb of Mary. And then all creation saw Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is who the Son of God is. And that's the precious gift that God gives to man. That's it, for God so loved the world. There are so many things. He just said He gave them His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His own begotten Son. Take my Son. Praise the Lord. It's a very awesome privilege. You are in Christ. Here you are not born again. The door is always open. The invitation is always there for Christ. You see, I stand at the door and I knock. And for you that have Christ, you know, you are living at the top. You see, I tell myself, I'm living from the top echelon of life. I'm not attaining to be anything. Praise the Lord. There is no quest in me to become anything as far as life on earth is concerned. Because I've already gotten to the peak. I got to the peak the day I met Christ. So every other thing I look down on them. Praise the Lord. Yes, I look down there, my education and all of this will be writing this down, looking at it and be laughing. People want to get this qualification to become, to add. No, those things do not dress me. It's the Word of God that dress me. Yes, some of us, maybe it's our title. It's a director in the office. That is where he gets his identity from. Some other person is the governor, he's this. No, my identity from Christ. It's Christ that dresses me every day. Who I am, what I believe, and what I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm going to tell us, let's continue just to say that about Christ. We can never stop talking about Him. Now, when God created the world, look at this way, look at the partnership between God and man. God created the world. God created the earth. God created life. That life, He gave it to man so that man will open the package. It's just like a gift. I buy a gift, I wrap it, I give you the gift. You are the one that opened the gift. So what we call life, who determined the outlook, the post, how the world was going to look like. God created the universe, He created the whole world. But he gave it to man. Man was going to unfold that world. Man was going to determine how that world is going to look like. It's just like the story of Abraham and Moses. Abraham obtained a covenant in God. But it was Moses that opened the covenant. That's why I said, by my name Jehovah, I was not even known to Moses. Moses never saw the power of Abraham. Abraham never saw the power of the covenant. It was Moses that saw the power, the effect. He was the one that opened the covenant. He was the one that walked through the covenant. Abraham obtained it. Obtained the blessing. That was Moses that opened the covenant. Say, by my name Jehovah, I was not even known to Abraham. But I reveal myself. I am what? I am. You know? Yes, I am. Say, by my name, I am. Everything you can think of, I am. So, Moses was the one that opened and unveiled the gift. Opened the package. You know, God told him, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you a nation. It was Moses that practically sat upon that nation and one orchestrated how that nation was going to look like. So that's the analogy I want to give you between God and man. God created life. But in a raw state, he handed that life to man. And man was going to determine how the life is going to look like. That's why the present world system, whatever is in this world, it's man that determines how this world is going to look like. Because when God made man, he gave him life, like I told you. Then he gave life to that man. But how the earth was going to look like. Now, this is the earth we have today. This was not the intent that God, the intention, this was not God's intention. This was not God wanted to have. But God is in partnership with man. So it is man that is going to determine the outlook and the face of this world. So when he handed that life, handed everything to Adam, the first man. So you continue in obedience. This is, I don't know how the world would have looked like if he had obeyed God. But he chose the course of disobedience, and that's why the world is looking like this. Even in nation, every nation got our independence. Nigeria got independence in 1960. So many other countries got their independence. But we determine how Nigeria is going to look like. That's what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. We determine how this country, what you see in Nigeria today is a collective, that's the collective will and responsibility of the majority of the people. Even if the few people have hijacked the country, but the power rests with the people, they say. So if you see nations, look at United Kingdom. It is meant that everybody has a nation. Everybody has a kingdom. Even the Chinese people that we look at now, trying to their world powers today. I think the Chinese revolution started in the 40s into the 50s. They determine how they sat down and said, this is the kind of nation we want to have. Praise the Lord. So that is, man is totally responsible for his life on earth. That's what I'm telling you. That's why even coming down to marriage, you determine the outlook of your marriage. What we do is that they give you the blessing. It joins the two of them together, but the two people must determine the life they'll have. That's why the tablet of every marriage differs. Because it is the people that are involved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, what I'm trying to establish in essence is simple. Before I continue my message. God has created life. You too, you have life. So, the details of your life, what you see inside of life, your life, is absolutely and primarily your responsibility. Praise the Lord. Everything, the unfolding of your life on it is your responsibility. You in partnership with God. If you yield to God, your life will go this direction. But if you want to take ownership and governance of your own life, it will go the other direction. Praise the Lord. And that's why when God created, if you look at the story in Genesis, and look at the temptation. You look at the temptation of man. Now look at the temptation of Christ, where we read. Then I'll now bring it to the present, the reality. When Satan tempted Adam, what was that temptation all about? In the garden. Because we all know the story of the fruit. You shall not eat this fruit. The day you eat it, you will die. What was that fruit about? Now, when God created man in Genesis 1, he said that the one God created the light, created the firmament, right up until day 5, he kept creating, he created the stars in day 4. Day 3, he separated the waters from the waters and brought forth the earth and asked the vegetation to grow. Day 4, he created the great light. Day 5, he made the sea creatures and the birds to fly in the air. Then day 6, that was when he created man. Up until that time, God has not created the food that man will eat. Now, all of the trees, God, up until that time, I say God has not created the resource sound that will sustain man. God did that in Genesis 2. So when God created every other thing, the trees or the field, all of those things that God created was the thing that will feed the flesh. The flesh. All of the trees of the field, all of the best of the, even then they were not eating the animals. It is the fruit. It's a seed yielding fruit. All of those things that God created in Genesis 1 were substances, your gold and your diamond. All of those things are meant for the body. The body that God was going to, that's why God formed the body from the dust. All those food were meant to feed the flesh. But in Genesis 2, God introduced the love of man. And what was the food that God introduced? God introduced his word. He said what? Of the tree of the good and evil you shall not eat of it. God gave man his instruction. God began to introduce obedience to man. Because that is where man is going to live from. And that is man's real and tangible field. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Bread is for all flesh. A lion can eat it. Goat can eat it. All of the things you saw in Genesis 1. All of those substances were not the thing. Then God introduced the second meal. And the second meal that God introduced was this relationship that he created. Then God created a fellow human being. So these are the two substances. That's why they say, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love who? The first one is God. And the second one, what? It's your fellow man. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second, what? You shall love what? Your neighbor as yourself. God created the second man. You know, the relationship. That is the rich substance that man is supposed to feed upon. So what brings fulfillment and satisfaction in life is your, number one, body. Relationship. But number two, your relationship with your fellow man. Your fellow man. That's why if you look at everything in the New Testament, it ties to that. Your relationship is the meat of man. That to go to Hebrews, somewhere in the Hebrews, that should be Hebrews 10. They distinguish, they say, we have fathers of our flesh. The flesh, that's your biological father. When your father sleep with your mother, and they gave birth to you, you say you have your fathers of your flesh. They gave birth to the flesh. But say, if we submit to the word, to the father of our flesh, how much more shall we yield to the father of our spirit? Spirit does not eat mango. It does not eat cashew. Spirit does not eat rice. Number one, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. So Satan's ultimate plan was just to bring us from the height. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it said a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. God created man to relate with him. He was a being on earth, but his destiny, his life is tied to relating with the God in heaven. Praise the Lord. And then his fellow man said, now this is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. He was not talking about the hand and the leg and all of those things. You know, relationship, intimacy, fellowship. None can take the place of the other. Your relationship with God cannot take the place of your relationship with your fellow man. And our relationship with our fellow man cannot take the place of our relationship with God. And that is the heart of the gospel. What Satan has just done, if you look at now that temptation, look at what Satan did. This is God's kingdom. Just explain God's kingdom to you. God's kingdom is God and man. God and man. Now, what Satan did in Genesis 3, look at that temptation and he tempted man. When he came, he said that he saw that it was good for food. Satan was now going to introduce another food to man. Praise the Lord. He's a spirit. He's a fallen angel. So don't forget that his name is wisdom. He's a full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan is wisdom. Now, when God introduced the food that man will eat, then Satan now came. Man, look at that tree. It was not that there are so many trees. It's not that that's the most beautiful tree in the garden. He said, when the woman saw the food was good for what? For food. It was desirable to make one wise. No, it was pleasing to the eyes. And it was not desirable to make one wise. Wisdom. I will explain that temptation. I'll bring you to the temptation of Christ and I'll bring you so that I can understand what life. You now begin to understand the meaning of life. Praise the Lord. Now, he said that food was good for. Don't forget that her eyes open. That's what we call fellowship. Now, that interacting with Satan. If you remember in John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said that you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Just me speaking to you, that interaction. Eve having interaction with Satan opened something inside of her that was closed before. He said she saw, but she was not seeing that before. Just that fellowship. You know, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He said, have no fellowship with them. That's why Jesus said that if this your hand is making you to sin, he said, cut it off. Cut it off. I heard mama talking about some people having some pornography inside of their phone. If it's a problem, so you cut off internet for the next 6 months, for the next 1 year, and see that you acquire and keep building your strength in God. He said, if your eye, he said, plunge it out. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. He said, rather reprove them. That's Ephesians 5. So that fellowship opened up something inside of her. She began seeing what she was not seeing before. He said, that period, just normal period. That's why you can be working with somebody. You see, or maybe you are together with someone for a long time. You have no desire for that person, just your friend. All of a sudden, you look at the person one day, you see something different. Be careful, take warning. All of a sudden, say just a normal casual relationship, bam, something else. You know, so all of a sudden, he saw that, he said it was good for food. And what? Pleasing to the eyes. Now, what was that food about? That food is not just mango or just Now, I say God introduced one truth to man. And that truth was what? Obedient his word. God introduced his word. And God introduced relationship with another fellow man. Then, Satan now introduced another food. And what was that food? Amen. I will explain that food. Let me explain something. I'll come there so that I can get the understanding. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, God wanted a nation that he himself would be their king. That's a form of government called theocracy. Theocracy is a government that God himself is king. God is the paramount and supreme ruler, and everybody is his subject. God wanted that nation, but after some time, Israel was a king like the other nation. They even started the calf. They said, let us make a king that will take us back to Egypt. God came, there was judgment and everything. Then, during the time of Saul, Samuel was their king. When Samuel was ruling them, all of a sudden they said, well, your sons are not like you. We want a king to become like the other nation. We want an empire where we have our own king. God himself was their king. And God told Samuel, don't be angry with them. Give them a king. They have rejected me from being their king. Give them a king to be like the other nation. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me. And this has been their manner from day one. God has always wanted to be the king that will reign over man. But man's quest, what Satan does, is not to come and sit and rule over man. Satan's quest is to have man rule over man. That's his ultimate agenda. That's why we don't understand him. Think Satan will come and sit. No. So they said, we wanted a king. God wanted a theocracy where God himself is the king. But man wanted a kingship where man is what? Man is the king. And that was what God. It didn't start from that day. That's the same thing that played out in the garden. God was their king. Satan introduced another food. What was the product? What that tree day? What did he produce? It only produced the self-life. God, Satan was shown, he said it was desirable. That eyes. That's why he said that if you look at the temptation, talks about those three things, temptation. John opened it up again that all that is in the world, the lust of what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of what? Of life. This is everything that is in the world. And this is the very substance that Satan had. And that is what he introduced to man. Satan introduced him another food. And that food was what? That food was where a man, that is the self-will, where men rule over themselves. This thing was good. God has given them. That's why I said all those things were spiritual things that played out in the garden. And that was what he wanted to tell Christ. He said, Jesus already was a king. He said, well, if you submit to me and bow down, I'll make you a king to rule over this world. Jesus was under the government of God and he was ruling this earth. But you have been disconnected from God and you become the paramount ruler. You come to a place that you don't need God again. So when he saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasing to the eyes. That eyes talk about the kingdom. The same temptation that Jesus said that all of this kingdom, he said, open his eyes to see the kingdom of this world. Then it was desirable to make man wise. The wisdom was the wisdom to build this world. A wisdom to build that. So in that simple temptation, he showed him what the food that they'll be eating, that's the substance, what to become the substance of their life. Then the kingdom, how it will look like, and the wisdom to build that life. All of those things were things that he showed the man in a package. And then the man ate it. After he ate it, he disconnected from man. And that's when men, now from that day, in Genesis, men began building their kingdom. People will build cities and name it after them. Then man, God just now tried to help man as much as he could. But because the earth has he given to the sons of men. God cannot violate his own principle. When God created the earth, he gave it to man. It was Adam that named everything under the earth. So if he said this is A, it is A. If he said no, it's no longer A, it is B. And it will be recorded, it will be time stamped in heaven. And that this is so. So that's the power that man has over the earth. Now, does it amaze you? Now, let me give you another analogy. So that I understand these things very well. We can rise up to the place of responsibility. Start taking responsibility for our life and start taking responsibility for the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, imagine in a house, a father has two sons. You know, he was leaving for work. And he has proud knowledge that this other son was going to kill the other one. He has seen the weapon. He has seen everything he has hidden under the bed. That before I come, you kill him. And he didn't say anything. Which kind of father is that? How will you describe that person? Talk to me now. How will you describe that person? He knows that this son killed this one. And he did not say anything. Be careful how you describe that man. Because he might end up describing your God. Now, when there were just two brothers on the earth, they offered their offering. God knew Cain was going to kill Abel. He had the power to stop it. He even warned him. Sin is lying at the door. He was standing right on the scene. The Bible says Cain rose up and killed Abel. I don't think they have a machete that time. It can be a very painful death. either he struggled or sugar. I don't know how he did it. God was still washing, and yet he did not do anything. Because man ultimately determines his life on earth. Just two brothers, just two of them. And yet he did not do anything. He was washing. And after I finished the whole thing, he now starts speaking to him. Where is Abel, your brother? Example number one. Let me give you another example. Hazael, when Elijah, a king, let me give you another instance. This one, I gave you two individuals. I'm now going to give you as a country, as a nation. Praise the Lord. Now, go to 2 Samuel. And when Elijah was dying, God gave him three instructions. Anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, and anoint Elisha to be prophet in your stead. So, one, Elisha, but he did not do the other two. So, Hazael was the king of Syria. So, God sent, he said, God is bigger than we know. The Syria, he said, go and anoint a king over Syria. I know that God's nation was even Israel. So, Elijah was going to, this scripture I'm going to, Elisha was going to anoint a king that would be king of Syria. Syria was a perpetual enemy to Israel. Now, look at the king that God said Elisha should anoint. Verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 7. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come here. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in your hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before Elisha, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elijah said unto him, go, say unto him, you may certainly recover. However, the Lord has showed me that you shall surely be king. And Elisha settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And Elisha began to cry. And Hazael said, why are you crying, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that you will do unto the children of Israel. Their stronghold will you set on fire. Their young men will you slay with the sword. And we dash their children and rip up the women with child. Even the pregnant woman, this same man was going to rip them out. And Hazael said, what is thy servant? Am I a dead dog? If you read the story, you know his history. That was exactly what he did. It was God that anointed him. He told Elisha to even anoint that man. Does he have the power to kill that man there? God has the power to kill him, but he did not. He said the heavens, Psalm 16, He said the heavens of the heavens, 116. The heavens of the heavens is the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Praise the Lord. So you determine your life on earth. And how we can, what can help us when we build a relationship with God, you're going to have one kind of life. And when you build a half relationship with God, you are going to have another kind of life. So it depends on the relationship you build to your father, number one. Then if you have no relationship with God at all, and that's how the nations of this world are like this. Amen. Some people start asking God, why is there, if there is God, why is there suffering in the world? Why is this? I've just explained these things to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, I've just tried as much as I could with the help of the Holy Spirit to just explain certain things to you. Now come down to your life. Now come down. Let me, if I don't bring it to our lives, it's not going to be of any major profit. Now come down to your life. I repeat, and I say it again, from as you were born to the time you are going to leave this world, you determine your life on it. God has given you that power. That's why I hear scriptures that tells you death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's right in your palm. And that's why when God gave us Christ, he gave us everything to live a victorious and the overcoming life. He said, this is the victory that overcome this world. He said, even what? Our faith. So if you are strong in faith, you are going to stand as a victor. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, the last verse, said, by faith. He said, when I preach to you, so that what? I preach by the power of God, so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, because by faith you stand. This is how you overcome and prevail in this life. Praise the Lord. And the very instrument, what will determine what you happen that prevail and overcome in this life, is what is on the inside. It's the inside that determines the outside. Praise the Lord. Every element of life goes in consonance with what is on your inside. That's what I'm telling you. I say every element of life goes in consonance to what is on the inside. I'm telling you. God told Elisha and Elijah, but the one of Elisha, 2 Kings 17:9. He told him that I have commanded a raven to feed you. Number one. Let's leave that one aside. He said, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Now, how did God command that widow? God never spoke to that, go to that widow and say, Elijah is coming, feed him. God, what God did that, God just, this is God's way. God just dropped that spirit. That God just commanded, God will command their spirit. How did I mean by God commanded? Because when Elijah came to that woman and said, this is my last meal. No, this is my last meal, I'll eat and all of us will die. He said, no, go and cook it, it will not run dry. He said, I've commanded that woman. Even when Saul was coming to look for his missing ass, he told Samuel that I have a young man anointed, I'll send him to you. But when Saul was coming, he was not looking like a sent one. He said, God has, that's why I say that the will of God orchestrates everything in this life. It does not have to be visible. It does not even have to be in your conscious mind. It's a subconscious thing that controls men and controls the element of this life. He said, I've commanded that woman. That particular woman, if he goes there, that woman will feed Elijah. God does not need to send an angel there. Because when God commands, when God speaks from heaven, everything on earth will be in consonance with what God is saying. Only one thing will deviate, and that is man. God can say, go here. He says, I'm not going. But every element of life, they will go in that direction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's how it is. He said, I've commanded the raven. I've commanded that woman. So everything will be what? Everything is under commandment to man. That's what I'm trying to bring out. I gave that illustration. Everything, God, you know how to see. Some things you see, some talkings you see in your life is just God. But if you have not built your spirit, built your relationship, you don't even know it's God. You can just say there was someone in the line. It was one woman that helped me. Another woman that had mercy upon me. But somebody has commanded from the heavens. So God has commanded your provisions in life. So long as you stay in alignment to that God, everything will be in alignment to you. So long as you stay in that divine path and that divine order, everything will be what? In divine path and divine order. That's why I say life. God gave man that token, that package that is called life. But it's man that unfolded it. Even you, the same thing happens to you. God give it to you. You are the one that opened the package. That's why you are responsible from every decision you make. Everything you have to decide. That's human volition. God gives it to every man. You will stand at a point and you take decision. That this is the way that I want to go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why so many marriages and so many homes are spoiling. It's not a prayer thing. Not just prayer. You must grow to the place of responsibility and account, able to come under the government of God. People get married and they are not ready to stay under God's government. That's why I told you from Genesis, Satan's ultimate strategy was to take man outside the governance of God. If he succeeds in taking man outside God's government, then he can establish his own kingdom. And that is his own kingdom where man is king. When God told them that Moses was the one that warned them, when you go to a land and you desire a king, this is what the king will do to you. He will take your sons and your daughters, and you take them to be his servants. You take them, there will be military men around him. And that's exactly what is happening in this world too. So the world you are seeing today, that's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It does not look like this. And it can never look like this. This kingdom, who is behind this kingdom is both man and Satan. The arrangement of nations. You see this one, United States, America, Nigeria, even the arrangement of your country, Satan and man is behind it. That's why I say you are in the world, but you are not of the world. And Jesus prayed, Father, keep them, protect them from the evil in the world. Even in this nation, Nigeria. So, if you have not built God inside of your life, if you have not developed spiritual capacity, you end up being a victim of life one way or the other. Praise the Lord. So, I was saying that. So, coming under man's government. So, that's why a lot of marriages, people are not under the authority of the word of God. That's how you can have a good home. That's how you can have a good marriage. To the extent to which you are submitted to God. To the extent to which you are yielding to God. It's to that extent you have a good home. I've counseled so many people in the area of marriage. Certain things are not working. I have to sit back and God open my hand. This is it. If the person inside is not changing, no principle will work for that man. Yes. No principle will work for that man. If the man inside is not changing, if the person inside is not changing, they say, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord who have been changed. As that man is being changed and being transformed, the society will see it. It will be seen in his office. It will be seen in his home. In fact, the first fruit of it will be in his home. That means after 2-3 years of working in marriage, the other partner can look back and say, wow, this wine is new and it's fresh. This is God's will and this is God's agenda. But the man must have a relationship with God. If there is no upward relationship with God, if there is no building, if the man is not changing, I discover this is not where I used to be when I got married 6 years ago. Yes. I've taken a tremendous journey and I'm continuing the journey and I'm turning. I'm not joking with it. Because that's my ultimate priority in this life, to have a good home. A blessed home, because I know one that one is secured, every other thing will be in consonance. That is, I saw that. See, God created man to rule over the elements of life. But how was he going to rule over the elements of life? Just him submitting to God. Adam needed to just stay under the authority of God. Lion will never open up his mouth against him. The snake, there will be no venom in any serpent. Where did that venom come from? Venom, it was not there in the first place. You know? So long as Adam stayed under the government of God, everything was going to go in consonance with him. That's why I say what? Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I stayed under his government. Then how did he end that psalm? He said, goodness and mercy will follow me. It's not even a prayer point. He said it will just follow. This popular scripture, Deuteronomy 28, only one condition God gave. He said, if you will obey me, all these commandments I have given you, if you obey me, he said, in blessing you shall be blessed. He started listing all the blessing. In your barn, your banners will be full, your granary, he said, your wife, everybody, God begin listing all the blessing. But when man is the one living his own life, he's the one ruling himself, what you see is tokens of mercy. But in some critical area, you not see mercy. Because God is a God of mercy. You still see mercy. But you see tokens of mercy. But it's not a habitation where you live. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall know. He said, he that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. You are not abiding under his covering. That is just a simple analogy of it. So build. When we tell men, build your life with God, they are busy running from pillar to post. Amen. You see all this food you are supplying, all this car, buy car, builders, and all of those. Those things are Genesis 1. I told her that is not the food of man. Man does not live by those things. Where was Adam sleeping in the garden? Answer me. Where was he sleeping in the garden? Say, you know how lions are sleeping today. He never needed a house. But he was living and sleeping and waking up in the garden. That was the order. That was the divine arrangement that God had. So it was sin that altered that equation. So everything we are seeing now is a product of sin. Your car, your house, everything. Yes, it's a makeshift arrangement for the eternal day that is coming. Because when we step into eternity, you are not going to be using marble to build house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are not going to be building house. You know where your house is? Your house is going to be right inside. Yeah, the tabernacle. He said, that's why we who are on 2 Corinthians 5, we are designed not to be unclothed, to remove this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body, so that we can be clothed with our house from heaven. I go to make a mansion for you. That mansion is not where you sleep in one corner of pillar and wake up. Spirits carry that inheritance inside. I'll say that again, I'm repeating it. Everything that God has is inside. Everything that you have, your true wealth. Your true wealth is not the Dangote wealth. Your true wealth is the substance that is inside of you. That which can transcend this life. After you lie down in the casket, then what now do you have? That is the real substance. That is the real tangibility. That is the real resources of man. After you close your eyes in death, what? It's not the things in Ecobank. Oh, my brother, I said, I think it's Ecobank that Chisholm is working. Keystone Bank. It's not the thing you have with Chisholm in Keystone Bank. Praise the Lord. That's why when men are saying, I'm the man, all he's doing that, all he's doing, I provide in the house. No. God's introduced food was his word. You know, that's why he said in that tabernacle, when they build that tabernacle, they put a bread there. That physical bread represents his word. They call it the table of show bread. That the bread was a symbol of his word. So the food that God gives man to, that's why Jesus said, I stand at the door. And if you open, I'll come and eat. Jesus in heaven today does not eat rice and beans. He said, if you open your heart, I'll come in and I'll eat with you. So what does he eat? That's the power of intimacy and fellowship. That's the power of relationship. That's what God created man for. That's why if you see the ground to Jesus saying there is the resurrection, I'm going to divide them from the left to the right. He said, when I was hungry, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Everything is tied and bound up in relationship. That is the true food of man. I've told you now. For those of you that are married, you see that your wife, you see that your husband, I'm trying to open up the divine explanation behind certain things we do that we commonize. That is this. I said the first meal was his word. Man shall live by every word that comes out of his mouth. He said, this word that I'm speaking to you, that your life. Jesus said something in John 16. He said, Moses is not the one that gave you the bread of heaven. He said, the true bread of heaven is he that came down from heaven and he gives life to the whole world. He said, that is the bread of heaven. So bread is not this food and all of that. That is the bread. Jesus in your life. That relationship with your father. He said, that is the true bread of heaven. That is the meal. That is the meal that God introduced to man. Now man is eating himself. He said, in the last day, perilous time shall come. Because men shall be lovers of themselves. He now started listing all the evil that will be in this world. All those things came. He said, in the last day, perilous time shall come. Because what? Men. So it's no longer God and his word. It's no longer what? The relationship. Man now does not see the second person. That's why he can be a governor and steal all the money. But if you operate, if you live in this dimension of life, maybe after you leave that governorship, you may not have the house. Maybe you are giving house to every other person. That is the person that understands life. There is nothing to celebrate about all those things. It's a man that has not seen God. that can see men and begin to rejoice. It's a man that have not seen the glory of God that can see the glory of men. The Bible says the kingdom is like a treasure that a man sees in a field. After he sees it, he sells everything that he has. I don't need them. He begins. That is the potency. That's the power of God and his kingdom. That's the power. A man that has seen God, he will leave everything and follow God. That's why they were able to live the life they live in Acts of the Apostles. So all of them could sell everything that they have. Those men encountered and touched something. But tired of being in the church age per se. A lot of people are there, they have not even seen God. They are not they don't even understand who God is. That's why a lot of nonsense are flowing. A lot. People in position of authority and they are stealing money. Money. Money is far, far down line the Kedar. Money. When God made his own nation, he told them to collect gold from Egypt. And God, they gather all the gold. But those men stepped into the wilderness but did not need those gold because they was not going to be trade. For 40 years, God fed them. A nation without trade for 40 years. So what are you going to use the gold to? What are you going to buy? He said, collect, borrow gold. Some people can just see that borrow gold and use the preacher. When they collected that gold, they used the tabernacle for God in the wilderness. And that's the same thing they did in Acts of the Apostles. Their land, property, everything they used it to build a tabernacle for God in Acts of the Apostles. And the tabernacle they built was not a house, was not this kind of house. The tabernacle they built was to create an apostolic environment. It creates a kind of life, an apostolic relationship where God can still be flowing in the earth. That's the tabernacle of heaven. God's house is the speaking point. The house of God is where God speaks to the earth. Those guys still build a tabernacle in Acts of the Apostles. All those things they sold and everything. They make distribution to all men as everybody has need. That was they built a tabernacle there. That's why those men built that tabernacle in the wilderness. There was no trade. Money, no, it was not buying and selling. And yet, that is the kind of nation that God has always wanted to have. And that's what we're going back to. God repeated the same example in Acts of the Apostles. They all had money. They said they distributed to everybody. There was no trade. In those early apostolic times. Yes, everybody had need. Buying and selling. They just made distribution to everybody. And that in the eternal future, where we are going, there's not going to be trade. You will not trade your gift. Here now we can trade our gift, but you will not trade your gift. So what are you going to have as a person? It's going to be the content of what is inside. Everything you do in life, build your inside. Build the content, build God inside. Develop your faith, work on your love life, work on your relationships with people. That's why I say, you can, Satan, when Satan took over, we cannot see man. Man is self-willed, selfish. That's why someone can kill his son in the day of famine. You read in the Bible, they kill their child and they start eating it. And today people carry their child and use it to do money. Husband, wife, all manner, all kind of things inside this world. Just because what the order has been tilted. Somewhere in Daniel, that Satan will want to change time, season, and the law. He wants to change God's order, arrangement, and ordination for man. And that's exactly what has happened. So come under the government of God. Begin to build your life in God. These are the things to tell you when you come to church, is to educate you to go and live a life. Is to go and begin to build the life, build the relationship with God. Have a devotional life with God. That is the wellspring of life. Say, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it, your marriage will come forth. The atmosphere in your home is the atmosphere that is inside. A troubled soul inside will have a troubled marriage. So if you want to have a peaceful marriage, there must be peace inside. He said, peace, grace and peace be multiplied. A man of peace will have peace inside. In your where you walk, there will be peace in that environment. Yeah, because that's God's kingdom. Because you take the kingdom everywhere where his fragrance. We spread it everywhere we go. Anybody you meet with, when they explain your life, they will see Christ. When they do an X-ray of your life, they will see the Son of God on the inside. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus brought on earth. Every other thing, you see, all of those say, it's not ceremony, it's a life. It's a life that God expects us to live. And God puts a demand on us to live that life. And when you live that life, everything will be in consonance with you. Praise the Lord. One time I was serving, I was in Zamfara. So in the middle of the night, I had this revelation. I was content. One of my cousins was sick. So, you know, I was standing and contending for our soul. You know, this was we. We were contending for our soul. So, me, I was standing, I was looking so small there. And the next person I was contending, his height was as if he reaches onto the heaven. Dark and big like this, but I was very small, tiny, you know. Maybe from here to his ankle, I can't remember. But like that, but we were still contending, we were still fighting. We're contending for our soul, you know, and I got the victory in that place. Shortly after they called me, that so person, the lady is dead. But I knew we're fighting for our soul, contending for our soul, and I won that victory. So, and I'm not surprised, there's no air of doubt of me where the lady is. Praise the Lord. We're contending for our soul. Second one was my mother. After my mother passed on to glory, of course, we got her born again, got her saved, But one day, I was sleeping. Then I was woken up by a voice. God, I was woken up by a voice that if she was not coming to me, I would not have allowed them to take her. Yes, that them is the angel. Because she told me she had a revelation. She saw people. But I said, no, I wanted her to leave. I was praying like that. So, but God came one day and told me, if you have heard his voice, if God has, he puts you on the high pedestal of life, how can you imagine you woke up one day and God walks into your room? Encounter that experience will alter everything about your life. It's just because you have not seen him. God walked, that voice woke. Now, if she was not coming, God, I felt honored. I felt honored. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something about God's voice. The Bible said in when we were talking about 2 Peter, that Jesus received glory and honor when they came. That was Peter that was writing. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. That's when he said, this is my beloved son. On the Peter, rendering that account, he said he received glory and honor when the voice came to him. When he received such a voice from the excellent glory that thou art my son. Listen to him. So God's voice coming to Jesus, Peter interpreted, he received glory and honor. It's glory and honor to hear the voice of the Holy One, the one that makes the heaven and the earth, the eternal Father. Praise the Lord. So that's why if you look at it, he said, ye are gods, and ye are what? And children of the Most High. Then Jesus explained it in John 10. He said, God, if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, just because the word of God came to them, he said, ye are gods. He said, ye are gods, and ye are children of the Most High. Because, read John 10, I'll open it, because he said, if he called them God, unto whom the word of God came. Praise the Lord. So this is what we have, and this is what you have as a person. So I'm going to challenge you to build your relationship. Don't look at what is happening in the nation and be depressed. I've told you that in Genesis what? 1. God created the food for all flesh. What God created in Genesis 1, it was what to sustain the flesh. But what to sustain the spirit, it was in Genesis 2. And that is his word. He introduced his word, he introduced obedience, and he introduced relationship. And this is God man's food. So all of those things you see in your nation are not, we must rise beyond those things, encounter and touch things in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not hearing our voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of us are blessed in this meeting? Can you rise up and begin to talk to your Father? I've shown you the path of life. The psalmist said, thou will show me the path of life. And the path of life I told you about your inside. The man on the inside. See, when God built his own empire, he built it on love. God's will is to have a nation that will be founded upon love. That love will be the guiding principle, not a king. Where you have men and women walking in love. He said, love walketh no ill to his neighbor. You don't have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was given because of transgression. But where there is no transgression, you don't need a commandment. That's why when we are going to the eternal future, there is no law. He said, where the Spirit of God is, there is no law. So the eternal future we are going to enter, there is no law. Because everybody will be walking in love. Love walketh no ill to his neighbor. He said, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God expected a nation that will be guided by the principle of love. Full stop. Napoleon Bonaparte. That's why in the present world governance, you cannot see love. It's a dog, eat a dog. It's fight to finish. In the government of this world. But let me tell you something. Napoleon Bonaparte, he was a great king that ruled in France. Let me tell you what he said. Please can project it. I have it, but I can give it to you. He said, I know men. And I can tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. He said, between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible point of comparison. He said, myself, Alexander the Great, Caesar, Napoleon, Charlemagne, all of us founded empire. Upon what did we build what? They rest the genius of our empire. We rested it upon force. He said, Jesus alone built his empire on love. And he said, to this present day, he said, millions of people died for him. This was the testimony of Napoleon Bonaparte, a great empire. A great empire that's the 19th century, 18 something. He said, Jesus alone founded his kingdom, his empire on love. He said, and to this present day, millions of people will die for him. This is God's perfect will, that love will guide the nation that he has founded. That's why in Acts of the Apostles, there was order, but there was no king. There was no king. Man will not sit down to rule. Amen. So that is the meal that Satan introduced to man. Because the day he saw, when he ate that meal, he saw that he was naked. It's not about self-life. Me takes the place of God. And that was what Satan was showing him. He showed him that life. He showed him the wisdom to build it. And he showed him how that life would look like. And it was pleasing to the eyes. Appreciate your Father and thank him. Tell him to help you. Are you satisfied with your marriage? If you want to turn your marriage around, I've just told you exactly what to do. You are a young man, you are not married. Thank God you just got married. You are young couples. Build a life in God. Build a life in God. Every day will be Christmas. From joy to joy. Peace upon peace. Advise us when you are raising up children. Don't just be thinking of Genesis 1. The best school to send them to. They must have the best life. All the properties you keep for them. That is not life. I've just told us by the word of God, that is not life. That is not life. When a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, the soul is the life. The soul is the life because that is the abode of life. That's where life is deposited. That's where life is resident. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. A man's life is not in the things that he has. A man's life is inside of him. This is
for more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask him tonight to put a nation on your heart.